Let us pray. Christ, walk with us now. By the power of your Spirit you have placed in and around us, speak to us your truths. Remind us of your love. Teach us how to live. Amen. Page one done. I love this story. It picks you up and drops you off on the road to Emmaus with Cleopas and his traveling companion. It invites you to join as they discuss the week's events. The whole region seems abuzz with talk of Jesus' execution and rumors of his missing body. That's a lot of drama for a community. It's a lot to talk about. These conversations on the road or in front of the shops are like an ancient Facebook. We don't know why Cleopas is walking to Emmaus, presumably walking to Emmaus from Jerusalem. It's a distance of about 7 miles. It would take 2 to 3 hours for the average person to walk this. I used to love the 15-minute car ride to school with my kids because they were a captive audience then. Think about how much conversation you could have if you were to walk with someone from, say, here to Reidsville. That's a lot of time to talk. It's a lot of time to work through the drama of life. So we don't know who Cleopas is other than he's a disciple. But this Passover has been disorienting for all of the Jews. Just a week before, Jerusalem was teeming with excitement over talk that just maybe Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. And instead, he was beaten, humiliated, and killed. These two travelers have been cheering Jesus, and now I imagine them to be abandoning their dreams, traveling away from Jerusalem, away from the gathered community of Jesus' followers. With so many others, they must have been crushed, losing all hope for a sustained campaign in Jesus' name. Disappointment had overtaken hope, and I picture them heading back to their regular lives in the Roman Empire. They are still talking about Jesus. Confused by the sightings of the women, wondering together what it could all mean. If Jesus is dead, what's the point of his whole ministry? If Jesus rose from the dead, what then? How do we make sense of his ministry if he conquered death? What do we do now? Do we even want it to be true? It's sure easier and safer if the dead stay dead and we can just go back to our miserable, mundane, less risky lives. The women at the tomb were perplexed and frightened. When they told the other disciples, they thought it an idle tale. Peter was amazed when he saw the linens lying in the tomb. As these gentlemen walk the road to Emmaus, talking to each other about everything that had happened, they are stunned. Into this maelstrom walks a man, calmly asking, "What you talking about?" Even though they do not recognize who he is, they come clean with their disappointment and confusion. Even to this stranger, even in this dangerous environment, this event is too important to stay quiet. Their new companion does more than just put them at ease. As they talk, he interprets the things about himself in all the scriptures. Cleopas and his buddy seem to build the courage to continue the journey in the messiness of this new time. In fact, their hearts are warmed. With the sun setting, they arrive in Emmaus, and the men urge their new friend to stay with them. They wanted more. They didn't want this teacher to leave. As Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it to them, their eyes are opened. And they realize all this time they have been with the Messiah. In sharing the supper, they recognize that the living Christ is in their presence and that life itself has been transformed. That same hour, in the dark of the night, they jump up and head back to Jerusalem, back to the community of Christ, to continue their journey of faith with others who have witnessed that the Lord lives again. What strikes me this year, convicts me even, is how we work our way through Lent. We tell the horrible story each Holy Week, and still Easter comes and goes so quickly. I don't know about you, but I haven't taken nearly enough time to be frightened by the ramifications of the dead coming back to life, to be confused by what this mystery means, to be stunned and amazed by what has happened. It feels like I need a 7-mile walk with a friend talking about the resurrection of Christ the whole way. I need Jesus to show up and walk with us, teaching us the meaning of all the stories from Moses through the prophets. I need Jesus to come to supper and to take the bread, bless it, and break it, and give it to me so that my eyes can be opened one more time. Do you know what I mean? Do you ever feel like that? Well, I have good news for us. We have the whole Easter season. And then we have the Pentecost season, and then Advent will be here again. We have all of this amazing church calendar. Through and through it, Jesus teaches us the meaning of the scripture if we are willing to walk with him. I have good news for us. Christ's table is set today, and we will, and it will be again and again and again until he returns in glory. While the minister takes the bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it, it is Christ's table. He is the host. He is here with us, ready to open our eyes if we just take and eat. We are not the first people to be living in bewildering times. These days following Easter, as we declare that Christ has risen, let's take time to walk with each other and with Jesus, wondering what it all means, wondering if indeed Jesus rose from the dead, and together being stunned by the drama. We are always on a journey together. We have choices now about whether to go or stay, which direction to go, and what to talk about along the way. We are still a people who wonder together what it might mean in our time and place that Jesus lives. Friends, the Lord really has risen, and he has gathered us together. We are witnesses of these things for our time and place. In worship and study and fellowship and mission, or just hanging out on the road, Christ is our conversation and traveling companion today and always. Praise be to God. Amen.